KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have mostly cloudy skies. We're at 32 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high of 53. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. A 32-year-old Harrison County man was sentenced Wednesday to 14 months in prison for conspiracy to distribute and distribution of oxycodone and hydrocodone. Mark Edward May of Missouri Valley was also ordered to serve 3 years of supervised release following his prison term. May pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance and 5 counts of distribution of a controlled substance on November 16th. May orchestrated the distribution of hydrocodone and oxycodone on multiple occasions to an undercover law enforcement agent from numerous individuals, including his co-defendants, Cheyenne May Jones, Jeremiah D. Jones, and Clara Ann Milks. May and his co-defendants made false medical claims to local physicians to obtain pills. Red Oak police responded at around 7 p.m. Thursday to an accident in the 500 block of East Market Street where a vehicle had struck a tree. Witnesses told officers the driver took off on foot, but he was located a short time later in the 300 block of East Market Street with the assistance of the Montgomery County Canine Unit. An investigation resulted in the arrest of 32-year-old Jacob Wayne Dykes Vargas of Red Oak. He was taken into custody for driving while suspended and cited for failure to have insurance, accident related. Dykes Vargas was brought to Montgomery County Jail, where his bond was set at $566. Red Oak police arrested 24-year-old Dakota Christian Thomas Sexton of Red Oak at around 12 p.m. on Thursday. He was taken into custody in the 200 block of East Joy Street in Red Oak for domestic abuse, assault, and criminal mischief in the fifth degree. Sexton was brought to Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where he was being held without bond until being seen by a magistrate. Officials at the Taylor County Sheriff's Office said last night 54-year-old James Meek of Blockton was arrested Thursday in the 2900 block of 320th Street near Blockton. Meek was charged with willful injury, causing bodily injury, and violation of a no-contact order. He was being held in the Taylor County Jail on a $10,000 cash bond. A traffic stop early Thursday morning on a vehicle in Glenwood resulted in the arrest of the driver on drug charges. Mills County Sheriff's Office says the vehicle, driven by 38-year-old Alan Edward Bauer of Glenwood, was pulled over for an equipment violation at around 3:30 a.m. Thursday. Upon further investigation and search of the vehicle, marijuana and drug paraphernalia were located. Bauer was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was also cited for having no valid driver's license. The man was transported to Mills County Jail without incident and held on $1,300 bond. Glenwood police assisted in that arrest and investigation. Elsewhere in the news, Cass County Treasurer Tracy J. Marshall is once again reminding property owners of the deadline to pay the second half tax payments on real estate and mobile homes. Those taxes are currently due with a deadline for payments without penalty next Monday, April 2nd. Payments with a postmark of April 2nd will also be accepted without penalty. You can pay your taxes at the Cass County Treasurer's Office at the Courthouse in Atlantic or online at www.iowatreasurers.org. Credit and debit cards are accepted, but there is a convenience fee. The Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold their regular weekly meeting this morning beginning at 9:30 in the courthouse boardroom here in Atlantic. On their agenda is a resolution to enter into an agreement to abate the tax and sign a tax sale certificate on a county-held parcel of land in Barney, as well as the abatement of a tax for a parcel in the city of Cumberland. The board will also act on a 28E cost-sharing contract and agreement for provision of law enforcement to the Unified Law Enforcement District, which is comprised of the cities of Cumberland, Lewis, Marney, Messina, and Wyota. And the supervisors are expected to act on appointing a county weed commissioner for the period covering March 2018 to November 2018. Later discussion will center on county health employee insurance operations under the ISAC group program. And an empty Chinese space station is expected to fall back to Earth as soon as today, and it's possible pieces of that may survive the fiery reentry and fall somewhere in Iowa. Allison Janes, a professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Iowa, says Tiangong-1 will likely come down between now and Monday, and there's a wide path of possible landing spots, including us.
Most of North America, most of the latitudes where people are living are in the path. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get hit by any of these pieces because, of course, that chance is extremely small.
There are many unknowns as to when and where the space station will fall, but Janes notes that since 71% of the Earth's surface is water, the odds are better than 7 in 10 that it won't hit land.
We're not sure exactly where in its orbit it's going to start to reenter, but the more important thing to look for is if you're going to be in the path of visibility to see the piece. When it comes through the atmosphere, it will glow. You'll likely be able to see it even during the day if you're in the right spot on the world.
Launched in 2011, Tian Gong, which means Heavenly Palace in Chinese, is roughly the size of a school bus and weighs about 9.5 tons. It's 34 feet long and is filled with all sorts of equipment, large oxygen tanks, two beds, and some exercise gear, as well as two large solar arrays or wings. And she says most of it will burn up. You might end up with some fist-sized chunks coming into land somewhere on the Earth. And this is one of the biggest things that has re-entered the atmosphere. So she says we don't have a whole lot of data points on this, but from what they know, most of it does get burned up. In the funeral announcements, Janice Sorensen, age 74, of Harlan, died Wednesday. A family-directed memorial service for Janice Sorensen will be held today at 3 o'clock at Christ's Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan is assisting with the arrangements. Hazel Bengard, age 84, of Exira, died Tuesday at her home. A massive Christian burial for Hazel Bengard will be tomorrow at 10:30. At the Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Exira. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Jerry Duane Heron, age 76, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Jerry Heron will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Gary Rasmussen, age 74, died March 13th at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. A memorial service for Gary Rasmussen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Don Nielsen, age 84, of Atlantic, died Monday. A memorial service for Don Nielsen will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lawrence Larry Beeson, age 68, of Harlan, died March 24th. Funeral services for Larry Beeson will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Gwendolyn Fredrickson, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Gwendolyn Fredrickson will be on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. And Kylie Musfelt, age 27, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at her home. Services for Kylie Musfelt are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.